Hi, this is Ken and Michelle Bass.
And you're listening to the Resilient Parenting Podcast.
So here we go once again. Ken Bass, Michelle Bass here with you. And I'm trying to keep track of how many podcasts we've done so far. This will make number
four.
Four?
This is four.
Okay. I get this confused. Like, it's trying to keep up with the Star Wars movies.
What?
Like, Star Wars 1 was actually episode 4.
Oh, right.
Star Wars 2 was actually episode 5.
Mm-hmm.
Are we doing that with ours?
Well, it makes it a little confusing because we actually interviewed someone this time. Mm-hmm. And the last two were part of the Parenting 101
right.
Episodes.
Okay.
So technically, does this make it number 2? Don't go there. Don't go there. I can see it in your face. Oh my goodness. Every time. Oh, we may have to rename our podcast. But yes, yeah. It's the fourth one.
Mm-hmm.
We interviewed someone amazing and so much information and resources. I can't wait for everyone to listen.
But you will have to wait for just a few seconds, and then we'll get into it.
Hello. Well, we're back with Amanda Mills, Strengthening Family Specialist from the Idaho Association for the Education of Young Children. Welcome, Amanda.
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
Good. Thank you both so much for having me here today. I'm so excited to be here.
We are so excited, too. So tell us a little bit about what you do and your organization.
Absolutely. So I work at the Idaho Association for the Education of Young Children, or Idaho AYC,
mm-hmm.
and we are the Idaho affiliate of the National Association for the Education of Young Children. So at Idaho AYC, we are committed to uniting parents, communities, and educators so that all of Idaho's children thrive, whether they're home with parents, caregivers, in childcare, school. So we have 5 projects, the Ready for Kindergarten project, which are free workshops for parents
nice.
To support their role as children's first and most influential teacher. So mm-hmm. there are a total of 15 workshops from birth to 5.
Oh, wow.
And so parents can start at any point,
yeah.
ideally at birth, but mm-hmm. at any point. And then they attend these workshops. They learn easy ways to support their children's growth and development. And then they actually receive free materials to support what they've learned in these workshops.
Well, are these free workshops?
Yeah,
they are.
Yeah, okay.
There
the
are.
Word free popped up again.
Of course, you went right for like, how much does this cost?
Yeah, no, they're free. So it's a really, Idaho is actually, my understanding, the largest facilitator of these workshops.
Really?
Now. Yeah. Then we have the Idaho Stars Project, which is a project in partnership with the University of Idaho,
mm-hmm.
and that supports professional development and continuous quality practices in child care programs, both
gotcha.
Home-based and facilities.
Okay.
And then the Ready Idaho Coalition is a diverse group of Idaho organizations that come together to advocate on behalf of early childhood systems.
Okay.
Can you give an example of that?
So they do work, with legislation,
working
with some of the, the advocacy pieces of early childhood.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Then our early learning collaboratives, which are locally driven partnerships across the state to support early learning in each of these communities. So there are 25 collaboratives right now across the state.
Wow.
And then each collaborative has their own advisory committee made up mm-hmm. of school boards or mm-hmm. teachers, childcare programs, local organizations that support early childhood in those communities.
Right.
So okay. just out of curiosity, if there's someone somewhere in Idaho that is interested in this, where do they find that information?
Yeah. So our early learning collaboratives are a big part of our work. And so on the Idaho AYC website,
okay.
there is like a button for each one of these sort of projects.
Oh, all the ones you've been mentioning are going to be on that website then.
Oh, that's perfect.
So then there's ways to connect. Martin Balbin and Heather Lee oversee those early learning collaboratives and connect with those project managers.
Okay.
So I'm curious, because we're talking about in Idaho, but what about nationally? Is there like a link on your page for like national organizations too that do the same thing?
Not exactly. So we, this collaborative model is part of sort of a national model, but there isn't, it's not necessarily connected to anything nationally other than a lot of this work sort of trickles down from the NAUIC and different organizations like that.
So how maybe,
many, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, how many people have you noticed going to access these programs over like the last year?
Well, so the early learning collaboratives has really, really taken off. It started with, I wish I knew, like 13 or 14 of these collaboratives, and it's grown as we've been able to support more local collaboratives. And so those early learning collaboratives now have project managers. We've developed the pillars of strength, which are sort of an internal sort of checking of how are we supporting families? How are we supporting our communities? And so each one of these collaboratives then are supporting their locally driven organizations. So then they might connect with local grocery stores or libraries or whoever is interested in supporting these early childhood initiatives.
So you've noticed greater demand.
Absolutely. Okay. Especially as we see in Idaho, we don't have federal support for a lot of early childhood programs. So it really does come back to the community support for these young children.
Oh, wow.
So again, if someone in the community is like, I want to help, what should they do?
They should go to the Idaho AUIC website and then look up the early learning collaboratives and get in connection with those folks doing the work.
Okay, let's say it slower one more time. The website is?
Idaho AEYC.
AEYC. Okay.
Yes. .org.
Okay. And this will be in the episode notes too.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll make sure that they have the links to all of this. So I want to move on because April is a special month.
Yes.
You want to share a little bit about why April is so special?
Absolutely. So April is the National Child Abuse Prevention Month. And the great thing about the work that I do as a strengthening family specialist is that this Strengthening Families framework is all about reducing stress in families and building resilience. We know that reducing stress in families reduces the likelihood of child abuse and neglect.
Mm-hmm.
So my work at Idaho AYC falls under our fifth project, which is the Idaho School Readiness Project. And so I offer strengths-based resources and support to families, to educators, and family-serving organizations around these strengthening families' protective factors and the building blocks of hope. So this might be parenting groups, it might be professional development, training, community events, and even formal presentations.
Oh, wow. And is there a cost to those or is that also free?
It is. It's all free right now.
Yay, free. We like free.
We like free, we do too.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the five protective factors. Can you go into that a little bit?
Absolutely. So the Strengthening Families framework has five key protective factors. We know these aren't the only protective factors, but these are sort of the five key protective factors. So the first is parental resilience. So this is the ability to manage stress in challenging times. The second is social connections. So healthy relationships that offer support. The third is knowledge of parenting and child development. So this is sort of a basic understanding of parenting strategies that support children's development. The fourth is social and emotional competence. So this is the skills to communicate, build, and maintain relationships and to manage our feelings.
Okay.
And then the fifth is concrete support. So this is knowing how and where to access resources to support our families' needs. One of the most significant evolutions I'm seeing and hope to continue seeing in our society is that asking for help when you need it should be considered a strength.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And don't be stubborn.
Yeah, well, a lot of times, you know, I would say even as someone who, like a social worker, mm-hmm. it's hard to ask for help because you're so used to being the helper mm-hmm. that it's really like, I don't want to show weakness or I want to show that I know what I'm doing.
Sometimes it's a sense of pride, too.
Yeah, it's
absolutely.
Everybody needs help sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so we're interdependent on each other.
Right. And a lot of us have learned, you know, I grew up in that sort of like, you got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. And what we're recognizing is that every family has strengths mm-hmm. and every family needs help, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's interesting because just the last episode, we were talking about parental resiliency, like looking at like just like the stress and the stress cycle and how to recognize that mm-hmm. so that you're able to get back to like that optimal level so that you can be available for your kids and recognizing that families have a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. I mean, families always have stress, I think, but it seems like it's more because of like the income and the housing prices, and there's just so many things that are going on in addition to, you know, just parenting. Plus, a lot of parents are not like the traditional parents. So we're talking grandparents are parenting mm-hmm. now, their grandkids. And I don't know if you wanted to share anything about like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the reason that I love Strengthening Families is that it's really not like another manualized program. Not mm-hmm. that there's anything wrong with those, but this is really about making small but significant changes to our everyday actions. Mm-hmm. So it is accessible to all families, whether you are a single parent or a two-parent home, whether you're same-sex parents or grandparents mm-hmm. or family members that are raising young children, recently incarcerated families, teen parents or blended families. It's accessible to everyone and it's doable. Some of this we're already doing as parents. So once we can recognize that, we can build on our own strengths and then do more with intention.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think the other thing that's really important to recognize, and you touched on this a little bit, is that we're not really living in a strengths-based culture. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the messaging to parents is all the ways you're doing things wrong, right? And
yeah.
if it's not yeah. this and this and you haven't done this, you've already failed your children. And this is really about re-envisioning that we all have strengths. Mm-hmm. We're all doing the best. And then we can build on that.
Yeah, yeah, the best we can with what we
and
have.
And maybe yep. following instincts a little bit more and getting help from you. Because there are people out there who would like you to think you are doing parenting wrong.
Right.
Because they Absolutely. Have a different idea than you know, what you've been taught.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's always someone out there with a great advice.
Yeah.
Yes.
I wouldn't say great.
Well, I was just what they thought was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it sounds like there's a lot of great programs out there. And again, the best place to start is through the website. And then you also shared some different resources that I will definitely share on our Facebook page. Quick plug.
Resilient Parenting Facebook page.
The Resilient Parenting Podcast.
Resilient. Oh, I left out a word. Sorry.
You left out a word.
What is this we're doing right now?
The Resilient Parenting Podcast.
I knew that. Okay.
Thanks for joining, Ken.
No problem. I'll be here all day.
So you mentioned what communities can do, so and families and all the different things that can help strengthen families. So what can folks do today?
Absolutely. So when we start talking about what we can really do, the thing that I really like about this too, I was at the Strengthening Families Institute a couple weeks ago, and the keynote speaker, I'm going to maybe butcher it and I apologize, I think it was Dr. Jeff Todol out mm-hmm. of Oregon, said a connected child is a protected child.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And I think that is such an incredibly powerful statement. It's sort of my driving force now, mm-hmm. right? Because what we know is that while some children experience ACEs or adverse experiences, mm-hmm. what we know now about the science of hope is that we can actually provide positive experiences for young children mm-hmm. that will actually mitigate any of those negative or adverse experiences. And so when we're talking about the protective factors, the first thing to think about is that we have to identify these protective factors in ourselves before we can build them in others. And so then as we start there, The first thing is always celebrate your successes, no matter how small, right?
Yes.
Identify healthy ways to manage your stress. That can be walking, cooking, yoga, reading, you know, calling a trusted person in your life, maybe prayer or meditation. For me, it's CrossFit. Maybe it's crossword puzzles or gardening, right? So just knowing when we can recognize stress in ourselves and what we can do to reduce that. Because when we reduce our stress, we buffer children from that stress.
Right.
And then when we reduce stress, we're like less likely to abuse or neglect our children. Identify your people, right? Know who you can turn to when you need someone. This might be friends or family. It might be a faith group, maybe your gym buddies, right? It can be other parents, children with parents with children the same age, right? Are you seeing this? Are you not seeing this?
Right.
What do you do when you... Right. Mm-hmm. So having other people using each other, right? We don't know what we don't know.
Right.
This might be, you know, book clubs, social clubs, game nights, right? Just finding our village, because it really does take a village.
Go to one of your classes.
Right. Absolutely. Take parenting classes. Definitely. And speaking of that, so then finding out or, you know, seeking out and finding trusted resources and information about parenting strategies and child development. So, of course, that can be parenting classes. That can be attending Ready for Kindergarten workshops, right? A little plug there, right? We know uncertainty can be stressful. So talk to your pediatrician, talk to your child's teacher, read books, talk to your children.
Listen to podcasts.
Listen to podcasts. There's a list of podcasts on the resources, and now I have a new podcast to add to the list.
Are you talking about the Resilient Parenting Podcast with Ken Bass and Michelle Bass?
Thank you for mentioning that. Right? Another big one
is... $2. Oh.
Another big one is talking openly about our feelings and calling attention to appropriate interactions. Mm-hmm. Right? Apologize when you make mistakes.
Oh,
I apologize to my children all the time.
Daily.
I didn't handle that well. Can I try again? Yes. Right?
I wake up every morning apologizing to Michelle. Just in case. You know?
Which is a good skill to have. Absolutely.
That's called being proactive.
Yeah. Right? Right? Limiting screen time, prioritizing time together as a family. And then we already talked about this in the beginning. Ask for help when you need it.
Yes.
Right? This is resilience, right? Children don't need perfect parents. They need parents who are good enough, and we're all good enough, right?
Very good.
Yeah. And you know, something, I love all of that. And I was there as well at the Strengthening Conference. And so can you say again what he said?
Absolutely. He said a connected child is a protected child.
And can we, and I agree 100%, and I would add family or parents to that too, like a connected parent. Because one thing that I've learned, and maybe this is another episode with you, is a lot of families feel very isolated. Parents feel very isolated, whether they're a single parent or stay at home. And that's one of the areas that folks have actually come to us about. So being able to get the family, the parent connected, so then connecting the child. But it sounded like, you know, like with the book clubs and things, it's like that is helping yourself is helping your child.
Right. And I think when you're thinking about if you work in any sort of like family serving organization, we're starting to hear a little bit more about this idea of like no wrong door. So if I'm a pediatrician and I have a parent that comes to me, I might be the only person that that family is connected to.
Right.
So if they're asking me about childcare, I don't want to shut that door saying, well, that's not really my area,
right?
But maybe I can say, I can connect you with Idaho AUIC or Idaho Stars.
I love that.
Right? Or if you have a parent who comes to you who's visibly under stress, recognizing those signs of stress and connecting them where they need to be connected, right? Because we know that as much as we say, ask for help when you need it, we know that that's a hard thing for a lot of people. So if we have an open door policy and a no wrong door policy, we're meeting parents where they are.
And I also would also add to that, if you see that a parent's struggling, or maybe you can just, you get a sense that they're struggling, maybe you could offer Mm-hmm. You know, even something as simple as bringing dinner or, you know, hey, can I mow your lawn? Or, you know, the kids can come over here, you know, whatever it is to be able to, if you see something, you know, maybe even just say, hey, how are you doing?
Absolutely.
Kind of goes back to that old quote from a certain person that used to be in office. I think it takes a village.
Mm-hmm.
It does.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So. Okay.
I think when we're talking about all of this, and I love what you said about making those offers of, you know, support. And I think so much of this really comes back to building those trusting relationships.
Yes. Mm.
Right? Because if you trust me, you're going to be more likely to ask for my help when you need it mm-hmm. or take my help when I offer it. So much of strengthening families, whether you're a doctor or a librarian mm-hmm. or a teacher or a coach, you know, any of these roles where you're working with families, mm-hmm. building those trusted relationships and creating those safe, equitable environments so that mm-hmm. we all are working together.
Yeah,
I love that. And that's actually a really great place to end on, with the understanding that, you know, like, think about what you can do. Starting with yourself, because we learned that today, starting with yourself and your own resilience, and look at all the different factors. And then what can you do in your community? Start with your neighborhood. You know, neighborhoods now, a lot of them are like, open the garage door, close the garage door. And you might see everyone when it's getting a little warm outside. But other than that, like, I don't think there's as much connection as there used to be. So
sometimes we close the garage door because it's very messy in the garage. Right?
Yeah, we can't actually fit our cars.
I don't want anyone to see all those bins.
It's true. It's actually Ken's comic book collection, but we won't go there. So I say every other house can open and close the garage door, okay. Put the car in there, but we can't. But that's okay. But notice, say hi, and start building those trusting relationships, like you said.
Absolutely.
And in the meantime, there are lots and lots of resources that you can get your hands on. So again, go to the website.
IdahoAEYC.org.
Perfect. And all of the information that was shared today will be in the podcast notes, or you can find it on Facebook's page.
Yes, which is the Resilient Parenting Podcast Facebook page.
Nailed it.
Did I do that right? Okay.
Close enough, yes.
I'm going out in the garage now.
Shut the door. This podcast is brought to you by the Idaho Children's Trust Fund.